This is the 17th week after Pentecost. In our liturgies and in our celebrations, we have begun to move to the final third of the Pentecost season, a time when our thoughts begin to be directed toward the end of time and to Christ's return in glory. It is also almost the middle of October, in case you hadn't noticed, a time of remembrances. Today, Columbus Day. In a couple of weeks, the 200th birthday of Dr. C.F.W. Walther. And then Reformation Day and All Saints Day, and then Thanksgiving and Christmas. But in the life of Christ Jesus, as we read the Gospels appointed for these weeks of Pentecost, it is a very different time. Have you noticed? Jesus' conversation with the people of Jerusalem is often almost confrontational. There's a reason for that. The scene, you see, has shifted from his ministry in Galilee to his ministry in Jerusalem, following his Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. We are in Holy Week. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and for Jesus, the Son of Man, Jerusalem means death. For us, it means life, but only because Jesus went there to die. And because he did, his entrance into Jerusalem means that the Messiah can no longer remain the hidden Messiah, the quiet Messiah. Too much is at stake, including the lives of those who seek to kill him. He cannot hold back. And so, 2 weeks ago, we read the parable of the vineyard and the tenants who refused to pay the owner what was due him and what happened to them. Yesterday, we heard the parable of the wedding banquet and the fate of the man who refused to dress for the festival. In both cases, Jesus once more and for a final time urges upon his listeners, upon Israel, the call to repentance with which his ministry had begun. Jesus spreads out before the people of Jerusalem all of the riches which the kingdom of God offers them. If only they would hear that they too are already, by God's grace, God's children, God's trusted tenants, his workmen, his invited guests. And so he invites them to give God the fruits that belong to him. Give glory to God. Give God the glory is his cry. But they will not listen. God looms large in Jesus' eyes. He's come to Jerusalem in order to die, in order that he might render to God the things that are God's, that he might fulfill all righteousness, that he might fulfill the scriptures which are his Father's word, that he might drink the cup which the Father will give him to drink, and thus make God's cause and God's forgiveness prevail. For the people of Jerusalem, however, and oftentimes for us, the concern is about the privilege of being sons and daughters of Jesus and of God. And so they and we ask, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus is concerned about a person's duty and says, render to God the things that are God's. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. The thing is, it isn't so much about what we do or what we should or should not do. It is rather about why we do it. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Jesus in Jerusalem wants us to know that. Jesus in Jerusalem wants us to glorify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in all that we do. Jesus in Jerusalem wants us to look continually to heaven and to his will and to his ways. Jesus triumphs over his interrogators, not because he is more clever or more adroit than they are, but because he is purer than they are. God is a clear and living reality in Jesus' life, and he wants that for us also. Render to God the things that are God's. The only reason that we have and that we can celebrate things like Columbus Day, CFWW's 200th birthday, Reformation Day, All Saints Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas is because the Father has made us and all creatures and still preserves us. Because Jesus entered Jerusalem humble and riding on an ass and on a colt, the foal of an ass, as Zechariah says, and died for us and rose again. And because the Holy Spirit has called us to faith in all that God has done. Give God the glory. Our call today is to hear Christ's message and marvel as the Pharisees and the Herodians did. It is to render to our God all that we have and all that we are, the things, frankly, that are God's. And to know that, as Martin Frontzman has written, the task and the aim of the teacher of the people of God is to let God grow great before the eyes of men. It isn't about our celebrations. It isn't about our needs. It isn't about our wants. It isn't even about what we have been given. It's all about God. The prophet Micah says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen.